though we say the same for Brother Rex and his dear wife, and Brother Malcolm and his wife and daughter. Others have been here. We appreciate the fact that we've been able to minister, to preach the gospel in particular with me, and there's nothing like preaching the gospel. As I said before, it just seems to do something for us and for people. And we do appreciate your prayers. We leave tomorrow morning, God willing, to return back home to Marsh Harbor. And many others will be traveling, and so we do pray for journeying mercies. Tonight I would like us to turn to the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter. And there are just a few verses from this 5th chapter we'd like to read. Genesis chapter 5. I'm sure you know, as you turn to this portion, that this is a very grim, a very I have people tell me all the time, I don't want to watch the news. I don't want to read the newspapers because there's so much bad news on there. Well, if you read this 5th chapter of Genesis, you could call it a bad news chapter. For it is the record of a number of men. And after each of the short history that is given, you read these words, and he died. And he died. And he died. But thank God, there is a break. Verse 21 of Genesis 5. Here is the only exception to the whole grim list of people. His name is Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. One verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The hall of fame of faith, as some have referred it to it as. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I know that God will bless this portion of his word, these beautiful passages of scripture, to our hearts this evening. A number of years ago, a veteran preacher of the word, well known to many of us here, our beloved dear brother Cecil Sims, said to me and to others, he said, when you're preaching the gospel or any particularly the gospel in any areas like that, he says, go to the Old Testament. You'll find a lot of fertile soil there for finding messages in the gospel. And though as we read this passage, it may not seem to be that, I believe in Enoch we have a beautiful gospel message. There are three things about Enoch that I want to leave with you tonight. Three things about this man of God that we read about in the Hall of Fame of Faith and in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Because in the midst of a grim picture of men who lived for an awfully long time. In fact, Methuselah lived 969 years. But he died. Here is a man who breaks that cycle. Here is a man who perhaps was a contemporary of Adam and many others of these people who are recorded in this 5th chapter of Genesis. And he was not, for God took him. Why? As I mentioned, there are three things that we want to think about, and I understand that Enoch's name means dedicated. He was, of course, the father of Methuselah. And something happened, it seemed, when Methuselah was born, and this is the first thing that I see here about Enoch. I see the turning point in his life. For we read that he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. No record is said of him walking with God before, but the scripture says he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. You may wonder why. He was 65 years old when he had this son, Methuselah, born. And Methuselah means, when he dies, it shall come. And I believe that God spoke to this father as he cradled, as he held this baby in his arms, as he looked at this young child, this baby, with the name Methuselah, when he dies it shall come. And I believe that it was at this point that he recognized that whenever this child died, judgment was going to fall. He did not know how long that baby would live, how long he would live, whether he would grow into a young man, whether he would grow to a man of a right old age. And I believe that this was the time that he had the turning point in his life, that he committed his life to the Lord. I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you committed your life to the Lord? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The Bible tells us that there has to come a decision time in our lives. I always get thrilled at the testimony course. Because, you know, as you look around, it doesn't matter how big or how small your audience is, you'll find somebody that was saved one of those days of the week. And if you can't remember, you know you were saved, some of the people still stand. So it's important to know that you're saved. It's important to know that there was a day, there was a time, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A turning point. Praise God for those who have come to the Lord Jesus in the last weeks and even over this past weekend. Who have come to that point where they recognized they needed a Savior, where they needed someone to touch their life, to save them, and they responded to the call of God and they were saved. And they can say tonight, along with many others, that was the turning point. You see, that was my conversion. Methuselah walked with God, rather Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. He could look back to the year and maybe the day when Methuselah was born and he could say, this was my conversion time. And you tonight, my friends, say from a heart that is so sincere and full of truth and say, yes, I know my conversion time. Can you say it? This is when I committed myself to the Lord. This is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. The turning point in his life. You know, as you read this passage, you will find that just as God had indicated to Enoch, just as he had told him, the year that Methuselah died, the flood came. Methuselah was 187 years old when Jared. When Lamech, rather, was born. Lamech was 182 years when Noah was born. Noah was 600 years when the flood came. It doesn't take much to figure out that that comes to 969 years. You see, my friends, there are two things the unsaved person needs to be aware of. You need, my friends, to be made very, very much aware and made very conscious of the fact, first of all, that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Now you can break the appointment with the doctor, with the lawyer, with the beautician, with the barber, with whoever it may be. You may change your appointment. You may say, I can't keep that appointment. Make it for 1 week from today. But you know something? You have no guarantee that you'll even keep that appointment, because there is another appointment that man has to keep, and it is the appointment with death. You do not know the day or the hour when you will be called to keep that appointment. Enoch never knew the day, the hour, when Methuselah would die. So he made sure that he was ready. He was prepared to meet his God. You do not know, my friend, when death will come. There is a second thing that the Christian looks forward to with great anticipation. But my friend, if you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord, it is something you need to stand in fear of. It is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:44 reminds us, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so there must be the needs of preparing to meet the Lord, because either by death, or if the Lord Jesus should come and you're not saved, oh my friend, listen, you're lost. You have no further hope of ever seeing the Lord face to face. You will go out into a lost eternity. How much better it is to be able to say on this 27th day of May, 1996, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I got saved, and be it death or the rapture, I'm ready for it. I'm prepared for it. Enoch did not know when Methuselah would die, and so he was ready. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Can you walk out of these doors tonight with the certainty in your soul that be it death or the return of the Lord Jesus, it matters not. I am ready. I am saved. I am born again. But you know, I see in this also the mercy and grace of God. For Methuselah lived longer than any of the others. And I think of the words of Peter when he says, let's not be ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I like this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If ever, my friend, you need to get down on your knees and thank God that we are still here, that you are still alive, you are still in your sound mind, it is this to thank God for, because you still have an opportunity. You still have a chance. You may have gone through the recent crusade and you were troubled, you were burdened, you were concerned, but you've never given your life to the Lord. This, my friend, is another opportunity. But this could be your last. It could be your very last. Talking yesterday with Brother Bill Burroughs from Governor's Harbor. Bill was saved 36 years ago when Brother Rex Major and Brother Ed Allen and myself had a crusade in a small tent out on Cupid's Key. I remember that crusade. I remember one Friday night, Friday night, I think it was. After the meeting, we were talking with a group of young men. And we were impressing upon them the need to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. One of the fellows said, you know, I've got plenty of time. The The very next night, or the couple of nights later, it was a Saturday night. I'm not sure whether we'd spoke to them on Thursday, Friday, but it was toward the weekend. We had gone to Topham Bay from Palmetto Point where we were staying. On the way back, in Topham Bay, we had a flat tire. On the way back, we had another one. We had to wait somebody to come by. We heard a vehicle coming roaring, and as you could see the glare of the lights, the glow of the lights as it approached faster or closer and closer to us, and it was going very fast. Stopped for a moment. It was a police jeep. They said, look, there's been an accident outside of Governor's Harbor. We're rushing to Rock Sound to see if we can get the doctor. And we've got a couple of men here. We'll stop on the way back. If you're still here, we'll give you help. And they took off. We were still there when they came back. It wasn't very long. They said one of the men died on the way. It was a young man. Well, the same young man that we've been talking to. Plenty of time, he said.
Did he have plenty of time? No.
He was gone in a moment. In a moment like that, a few days later, he was out into eternity. Lost. My friend, listen, you do not know when you will keep your appointment with death. You do not know when the Lord Jesus will come, so therefore you need to be ready, like Enoch was ready. The turning point in his life, his conversion. But I see also his communion. He walked with God. What a testimony this is. What a tremendous thing this is. He walked with God. I'm not going to spend much time on this. But the scriptures indicate that he walked about or he lived in the presence of God. This is what it indicates when it says he walked with God. And for 300 years, this man got closer and closer and closer to the Lord. We mentioned that in the ministry this morning. The Lord wants us to get closer and closer to Him. You see, it's not just a matter of getting saved. Some people, you know, profess to be saved. It seems almost like they want a fire escape from hell. They want to know that their soul is saved. And that's all. No, my friend. That's only the first step. And I want to challenge the young believers. To walk with God. Walk with Him in the light of His Word. Say like the psalmist could say, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Walk with God. Spend time with Him. Commune with Him. Let's remember, Enoch could not reach up on the shelf and pull down a nice leather-bound copy of the Scriptures. And so he walked with God. He lived in fellowship and communion with the Lord. Keep in close communion with the Lord. Christians, keep in close communion with the Lord. For I see his communion, and they also see his commitment. Not only his conversion and his turning point, not only his communion, but his commitment. He was committed to serve and work for the Lord. I ask you the question tonight, have you had a turning point in your life? Have you had a time when you received Jesus Christ? I ask you, my brother, my sister, are you walking in communion with the Lord? Are you committed to the Lord? Enoch was committed. You know what? Whenever one is converted, one communes with the Lord, one is committed to the Lord. We're going to be blessed. Now, he doesn't say we're not going to have trials and difficulties. You know, we're living in an age when there are some preachers who are preaching an easy believism and a wonderful experience, you know, when you come to the Lord, everything's going to be all right. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But thank God, when problems come, when difficulties come, instead of turning to the bottle, as some people do, instead of turning to drugs, as some people do, and other things to try to calm themselves, we can rest in the Lord. We can understand that no matter what happens, that the Lord our God is with us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, where I am with you, I will go with you. My presence shall go with you. Oh, my friend, listen, this is a wonderful thing to know, that you have someone who is with you every step of the way. And in fact, as the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the great shepherd, he goes in front of his sheep and leads us. That's why the psalmist could say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. I'll anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And say, he says, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen, I'm not telling you if you come to Christ, you're going to have an easy time, because, listen, you have an enemy that's opposed to you. But praise God, the scripture says, greater is he who is in me, who is in the Christian, than he who is in the world. And there's victory in Jesus. Enoch was committed in his conversion. I think secondly of his testimony. It says that Enoch had this testimony. Hebrews 11 says he pleased God. You see, that's important. That we please God. Oh, I ask myself as I read those words. Every believer in Jesus Christ needs to ask themselves this question. Does my life please God? You know, the scripture says in Colossians 1:10, the apostle Paul wrote these words. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Young believers, again, I challenge you from the Word of God to let your walk be that which will be unto all pleasing. Not only young believers, us older in the faith too. Is our walk pleasing to God? He had this testimony that he pleased God. You see, this is the purpose for God saving people, that we might please him. In Proverbs 16, a wise man says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Am I walking pleasing to the Lord? Is my life a testimony to the glory of God? It's important. You see, the Lord not only saves us, but he wants us to have a testimony. A testimony that will please God. There are three ways we can please God. I believe Enoch pleased God. We can please God with our walk. The scripture says, as we saw in Colossians 1:10, you know, the Bible lays great emphasis on the walk of the Christian. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that you ought to walk and to please God. The scripture in the book of Ephesians, at least six times, the walk of the believer is emphasized. You know, we always quote in the gospel, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, don't we? The verse 10 comes right after. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. You claim to be a Christian. You say you trusted Christ. You may have stood tonight for the testimony chorus. But I ask you, my friend, my brother, my sister, is your walk pleasing to God? Is our life our testimony, that which magnifies the name of the Lord Jesus? The scripture tells us in Ephesians 5, we're to walk in love, we're to walk in light, and we're to walk circumspectly or above reproach. Someone has illustrated that walking circumspectly with a cat walking along a wall that has been a high wall that has embedded in the top of it broken glass bottles, sharp pieces of glass bottle. The idea is to prevent thieves from coming over. If they put their hands on that, they're going to cut themselves badly. Watch a cat walking along that, and you'll see him putting his steps very carefully, walking circumspectly, walking above reproach. We can please God with our walk, with our words. Psalmist said, let words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. We not only please him with our walk, we please him with our words. Scripture says he has put a new song, my heart in my mouth, even praise unto my God. When a person knows the Lord Jesus Christ, his walk is going to please God, and his word will please God. The scripture says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may be able to know how you ought to answer every man. You know what salt does? Why do you think Paul said seasoned with salt? Salt does several things. It creates thirst. And our speech as Christians should create a thirst in the hearts, in the minds of unbelievers to glorify us and to be saved. Salt cleanses. It has a purifying effect. So should our lives, our words. It has a preserving effect. So should our words. You know what? Salt has the grip and doesn't lose its flavor, and yet not to lose that strength. Isn't that wonderful? And that's how our lives should be. That's how our words should be. I believe Enoch pleased God in his walk. The scripture says so. In his word, so should we. And in our work. In our service. A life that is surrendered to the Lord. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Have you followed him in baptism? Thank God, for many you have. Are you following him by remembering him? Are you following him by serving him? By becoming a part of a local assembly, a local church, of God, assembly of God's people? Can we say tonight that our walk pleases God? Or it may not please men sometimes. But the important thing is that we please God. Enoch had a turning point in his life. Enoch had a testimony. Do I have a testimony? Do you have a testimony? Do we please God? But then thirdly, Enoch had a translation. 300 years Enoch walked with God. Some of these dear saints have been walking with God for many, many years. Amen. Praise God for you. Some of you have just started to walk. In fact, you're finding it hard to walk yet spiritually. You know? Just like a little baby, you know, when he first makes the first steps and first moves, sometimes you fall down. Listen, don't get discouraged. Your spiritual legs will get stronger. As you feed on the Word of God, your spiritual legs will become stronger. You'll get that strength. But walk! 300 years.
Enoch walked with God. He had a turning point. He had a testimony. And he had a translation. The scripture says that he was not. For God took it. And he breaks that terrible cycle of and he died. He breaks that cycle and he's taken out without dying. And here, my friends, is something exciting for me. For I believe in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that his return is there. And I believe that many here, perhaps, who will be alive and will be translated. Caught up. He was caught up. He was taken out. And glory to God, there's coming a time, and we believe it soon, when God's people will be translated, raptured, caught up. That excites me. Amen. It excites me. He was caught up. One day, he was no more. He wasn't found anymore. My unsaved friend, let me tell you something. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, there's coming a time. When he comes, that day will come, and you start searching for maybe it's a mother, maybe it's a father, young man. Maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a husband, sir, ma'am. They're saved and you're not. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the air, they are going to be caught up and you're going to miss it. You see, the scripture tells us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is certain as to its promise. Jesus said, I go away, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. One day, he questioned Peter. And the other disciples were listening. Said the other disciples, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? And they gave him the answers. He says, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter. And upon this rock, not Peter, but upon Christ, in Peter's confession of Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Jesus made a promise, and he kept it, for he's building his church. As he was talking with the disciples in the upper room there, John 14, 16, 17, 26, John 15, 26, John 16, 7 on through 15. He made the promise of the Comforter. He says, I will pray the Father and he will send you another Comforter. One exactly or one like unto myself. Pentecost, 50 days after his resurrection. This is what we're celebrating. Yesterday was Pentecost Sunday. This is what we call Whit Monday. This is what it is. It's Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit. He kept that promise. He made a promise to his own. He says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And he keeps that promise. He says, I am with you to the end of the age. He keeps that promise. And so he's going to keep this promise. I will come again. When he ascended into heaven, Acts chapter 1, he went up, and the cloud received him out of the sight, and there were two men. They said, you men of Galilee, why you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you've seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And not only did Jesus promise that would have been enough, but praise God, we have the promise of the heavenly messengers. We have the record of the New Testament over 300 times in the New Testament. We have the return of the Lord Jesus Christ spoken of. We have been fulfilled all around the world, those things. And you see, remember this, the church is not looking for the signs, it's looking for the Son. Let's keep that in mind. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, when you see the birth pangs, the beginning of sorrows, the birth pangs, you know that my return is near. You know what? There are two things about birth pangs with a woman in labor. They increase in frequency and they increase in intensity. We have seen in the last few years a great increase, not only in frequency of these things, but intensity. From the late 1800s to up until about the 1950s, there were an average of two or three killer earthquakes of 6.0 on the Richter scale or above, an average over that period of time. 1950 to 59, there was something like 12 or 13. No, I'm sorry, 60 to 69. 70 to 73, it increased to something like 33. In 80 to 89, there were over 80. There have been over 100 in the first 4 years of this decade of killer earthquakes. 6.0, the Lord Jesus spoke about these things. I say, my friend, his return is near. Enoch was raptured. He was caught up. Are you going to be caught up when Jesus comes? His return is certain. His return is close. Oh, the hymn writer says, I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is sure to be with him evermore. It's close. The scripture says in Romans 13, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. It is close, it is near. The rapture can take place tonight. Are you ready? You see, my friend, Enoch was walking with God, and one day the Lord says, Enoch, come home, and that was it, and he was gone! And those of us who are walking with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised first. We, which are alive and remain, listen, I like this, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, my friends, what if that would take place tonight? Would you go? Are you ready? Are you saved? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is certain as to its fulfillment. It's close as to its fulfillment. It's challenging as to its results. You see, the saints will be caught up, raptured. Sinners will remain. And you know the sad part about it? You won't even know when it's taking place. You won't be able to run and find a preacher and get ready like some have done, you see, even in the night. Thank God for those who come looking for somebody in the night. But you won't have a chance to go look for anybody to tell you about Christ. It'll be all over, too late, gone. The Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, everything's finished. The Lord has come. His church is gone, you're lost. You're lost. You're lost. One day Enoch was there. One moment he was there. Next, he was gone. Are you ready? In the book of the Revelation, the last chapter, three times, our blessed Lord says this, I come quickly. Verse 7, verse 12, verse 20. I like verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Christian, labor on! Jesus is coming. His translation, he was taken off. He was caught up. God. My friend tonight, would you go? Christ should come tonight. Are you saved? Have you ever come to that point in your life where you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I don't ask you tonight, you think you're saved. You got to know you're saved. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. I have some Christians misquote that. I know in whom. It doesn't say, he says, I know who person I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Can you say tonight, I know I have received Jesus Christ. I have had a turning point in my life. If you've had a turning point, you have to have a testimony. You need to have a testimony. Because you see, there's coming a time when we're going to be translated. The translation. What? What tonight? Me tonight. Oh, friend, tonight. Christian brother and sister, first of all. Keep your eyes upon as the song says, keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption. Draw it now. But oh, my unsaved friend, I close this meeting with a challenge to you. Oh, friend, tonight. This is your night. This is the night that God wants to have your turning point. So you can have a testimony, so you can be translated. Now you've got to accept Christ for your own. You've got to receive. I quote one of my favorite verses in the Gospel, John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Three simple words. Believe, receive, become. Believe, receive, become. Will you believe tonight? Will you receive the Christ of God? You'll become a child of God. And you'll have a turning point in your life. You'll start to have a testimony. And praise God, you'll be translated. You'll have a translation. Let's bow for prayer. You know, thank God, Saturday night, there were two that came after the meeting. Last night, at the door, a young man grabbed my hand and said, I want to be saved. So, Brother Frank, this young man wants to be saved, took him next door. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to have that turning point in your life tonight? I'm going to give you an opportunity, sir, to receive Christ, or to at least make that desire known. Putting your hand up won't save you. It indicates that you want to be saved. This is someone here. As we're praying, as I ask for heads to be bowed, not that we don't want you to make a public confession, no, but we're asking Christians to pray. This is someone here. They'll slip their hand up and say, I want to be saved tonight. I want to receive Christ. This is my turning point. This is my conversion night. This is someone before we go to prayer. Someone. This is my turning point. This is my conversion. Here's my hand. I'm coming to Christ now. Anyone? Before we go to prayer. I will not prolong this. I want to give you an opportunity. I want to see you saved, friend. You may not raise your hand, but you can do like others have done. Speak to me, Brother Frank, or Brother Tom, or somebody here you know. I want to be saved. Brother Don has gone next door. If you step out there to go get food and you're so burdened, go meet him at the office. Will you do that? Will you come tonight? Father, we bless thee, we praise thee for thy word. And we thank you, Father, for this man Enoch, who walked with God for 300 years. We thank you that there was
a moment, a time when he started to walk with God, when he was converted, and we believe it was when Methuselah was born. Oh God, we pray tonight for those who are still in their sins, still in nature's darkness. We pray, Father, that they will come to the Savior now. They will receive the Savior now. This night will be their night of conversion. Oh God, remember that soul that is on the very edge of eternity. Lord, this may be their last chance, their last call. Help them to respond to that. There may be a husband here, Lord, who's not saved, a wife is saved. Touch him tonight and save him. A son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, or whatever the case may be. Touch them, Lord. Save them this night. Bless thy word. We know that you have promised, Father, that it will not return unto thee void. It will accomplish that for which you have sent it forth to do, and so we claim that.